time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right, who has made the list of Bad Take Boulevard? It is back every Thursday at 2. Who made the list? Joe George made the list the other day. I already forgot why he made the list. What was it? You can't find SEC football on TV? Is that what he said? I think it's what
I said. You can't find Kentucky football on TV.
Yeah, can't find try an hard SEC enough. Team on the
either
television.
That or you've got no he access to, like, satellite and cable, because you can find any
you guys are taking, like, literally the fact that of how I said that. Yes, they're on television. Of course they're on television, but they're on, like, they're the fourth option. They're never the main SEC game of the week.
Beaver reruns.
If they're playing Alabama or
so
Georgia,
once a year or, when they play Alabama,
and, I think it's more than that, but it's up for discussion. Look, shame on us for taking things you say literally.
Is this the first time you've made the list?
Yeah, probably, but it won't be the last.
Congratulations.
God,
congratulations.
I don't know that shit. Yeah.
It is good.
We probably let him off the hook.
I guess I make the list for the bet I lost that the Astros would trade for a catcher before opening day. But but it kind of looks like I should have been right also.
I have Bears fans that are waiting to put you back on the list very, very shortly after the NFL season starts.
I don't think that's accurate because I think they would want me to be right.
Right, but the difference between the reality of facing the challenges that they face versus the hope that they do it is a different story.
Why?
I can
because there are Bears fans that go, he's an idiot. That was ridiculous. We love the Bears.
I'm sure you
no
know so many.
There's
so many Bears fans listening to this show. I'm sure that's accurate. Not, you're just calling me an idiot.
No, Mark, one of our loyal Twitchers, Mark 168 or 188. Mark's a Bears fan. I have friends of mine at the gym that listen to the show that are Bears fans. They're realistic, Joe. I think that your fandemonium got the best of you.
I don't have a single friend who's a Bears fan.
You don't have a single
friend?
You're lucky.
Like, come on, what
are
you doing
right
here?
Ouch.
Picked up what I was putting down. I'm glad you caught that, Joe George. I've been put on the list twice, apparently, this week. We'll see if I belong on Bad Take Boulevard. But Joe leading us off with his bad take, saying you can't find SEC football on the television. Nick Wright. Former Houstonian.
This is my big one.
He says that the Lakers are going to win it all this year.
Just an absolutely ridiculous take from a guy that has just he overloves himself all the time, and he loves LeBron so flippin' much that he can't get enough of any opportunity to just fluff LeBron. Like, this is so, to me, it's just so ridiculous. And you watched the Laker team last night that, oh no, LeBron and AD had to play a back-to-back, and then they lost to the Clippers. I mean, I know that the West seems a little bit more wide open, but I think Phoenix is just a powerhouse. I think Golden State, if they get back Wiggins, that's an offensive team they can play with anybody. They just have to prove that they can win on the road again, but they've been there, done that. I don't see a scenario where the Lakers even get close. They might get out of the play-in. They might, you know, they might get into a playoff series. They might, if they played Memphis, could they beat them? Yes. Are they beating Phoenix? Are they beating Golden State? Absolutely not. I saw this and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I'm going to defend Nick Wright here a little bit, mostly because he has phenomenal hair all of a sudden, which I'd love to know how that happened. How is it a bad take right now, though? Like,
They have an
opportunity. They have a chance. They have arguably one of the greatest players of all time. Anthony Davis is one of the best bigs currently in the NFL. The NBA. They've won a championship with them as their best two players, and they have the chance. Like, they're currently the seventh spot in the Western Conference, so they have two opportunities to win one game to get into the playoffs, and then who knows once you get in the playoffs. I just don't know how it's a bad take. Right now,
it's a horrible take because getting in is different than winning it all. I mean,
they have the opportunity to win it all, though. Like, what if they win it all? Now you're going to be on Bad Take Boulevard,
right? And I'll gladly own that because that would mean that they went through a gauntlet like the Rockets did in '95 when you beat like every 1 and 2 seed on both sides until you get to the championship 1, 2, or 3 seed, and then you play the 1 seed in the East and you beat them too. The teams that they would have to get through with the roster that they have and how fragile the guys you were talking about are, including LeBron with his foot and AD with everything on his body, and the supporting cast, which isn't even close to the year that they won the asterisk championship in the bubble. To me, it's outlandish because there's too many really, really good teams to beat, and I don't think they're capable both with their stars and or their supporting cast.
Is this a bad take, though, or a hot take?
It's horrible.
Like, this is more hot take to me. Like, it can't be a bad take yet. It hasn't played out. We don't know. It's like saying that liking Will Levis is a bad take. You don't know that. You can't know that. It has not happened. They have literally not played an NFL snap. It's a hot take.
I think there is an interesting, like, line here. I think it's hot take. It's also because he's not the only one. Chris Mannix predicted the Lakers to win the West.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be wrong. I think Kendrick Perkins was close.
Yeah, I think it's like you have to wait for it to play out for it to like be fully – like if it plays out, if the Lakers win a title now, Joel officially will be on the Bad Take Boulevard bracket next year.
I'll own it because I think it's absolutely outlandish. You know what? And you know what it would do along the way? It would piss off all the Rockets fans because it would become the greatest championship from where they were seated in the history of the NBA. The Rockets as the sixth seed was the lowest seed ever to win it. If they're currently the seventh seed and they win it, the Rockets are no longer the holding that distinguished honor.
Like, I'll be honest, I also don't think it's the craziest take because, Joel, I just strongly disagree with you about the West. Like, there's if LeBron's healthy and AD is healthy, I don't believe in the Nuggets. I don't believe in the Grizzlies. Like,
I'm not talking about them.
But like,
talk about Suns and Golden State.
See, like the Suns, even then, like I know they haven't lost with KD yet, but that's a lot to ask on three guys and Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant. Who at this point
could also,
always get hurt. Like
depending on the seeding too, they could kind of cannibalize each other. Like it depends on how it all plays out. But
yeah, I don't
Golden
like
State in Denver or Phoenix or whoever. Like whoever you think your top three teams are, there's so much that still needs to be decided in the Western Conference.
Yep,
they could all end up on the same half of the bracket.
I don't like the fact. I was talking to my buddy on the way over here. I don't like the fact that Golden State could play Phoenix in the first round because I think those two teams to me have the best DNA to win it all and come out of the West, at least to represent the West. And if they played each other in the first round, I'd be disappointed. I'd rather see that series down the road a ways. But when you talk about, for me, I'm looking at matchups too. Like you look at Phoenix or Golden State, and you look, Golden State's got bigs that they can at least put a body on Anthony Davis. And guarding LeBron isn't even close to what it used to be. But then you've got to worry about who you have to guard the other two players on Golden State. If it's Clay, if it's Wiggins, if it's Poole, if you go to Phoenix and you look at, I'll put DeAndre Ayton on Davis and I'll give him a chance to at least kind of keep him in check. And then LeBron can try and do what LeBron does, but you got Booker and you've got KD and you got Chris Paul getting him the ball. I'm sorry, guys. I don't see the Lakers having a chance against even. And those are just two of the teams that we're talking about. They're not even the top two seeds in the West.
Might not have to play some of those teams. We'll see how it all plays out. I'm honestly, I'll be honest with you, I'm now pulling for the Lakers to win it all.
Of course
you are.
Just
for the content. Just for the content, I'm pulling for the Lakers.
I mean, the idea of Joel being the number one seed in next year's Bad Take Boulevard bracket is juicy.
It's great for the program. I'm pulling for the Lakers. Come on, LeBron. I've never rooted for you before. Anthony Davis, nah, I could take you or I could leave you. I've never been a Laker fan. That's obvious. But because I care about our program, because I care about the content within the 3 hours of this show, come on, L.A. Keith from L.A., what do I have to say to be a Laker fan? Let me know the slogans, the catchphrases. I'm all in on the Lakers train. Make a run to the championship. All right, here's another one on Bad Take Boulevard that made the list. Todd, the show tipped me off on this one, which I'm not sure why you tweeted me and not at Pac-Man Joel. You send him all the bad takes. But this guy named Rob on Twitter, which says in his bio that he's a sergeant of Marines. If that is true, thank you for your service. That matters way more than any silly sports conversation we could have. But it doesn't prevent you from making the list. If you have a bad sports take, you're still going to make the list of Bad Take Boulevard, even though we admire everything that you've done. That said, he said this won't be a popular take, which is usually a precursor to landing on Bad Take Boulevard. He says, but Altuve hit 180 in the postseason, 143 in spring training. If this trend continues when he returns, how do you justify holding Hensley back when he's hitting 250?
It's just
oh, my
so
God.
He tagged me on that, too, I think.
So
or sent
bad.
Me a separate.
Made
he sent
the
it to
list.
Me separately. Somehow, yeah, I got it, too. And I saw it, and I was like, oh, you've got to be out of your mind. Like, you had to have been on the, one of those benders where you were drinking so much that you just weren't thinking straight and you shouldn't have been near a keyboard. Because otherwise, what the hell are you on? What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's yeah. People tagged some 790 people and said this has to be one coming up on the show. If not, it needs to be on that bad Twitter take segment. Huh. That sounds a lot like Bad Take Boulevard, 2 o'clock on Thursdays. Huh.
Scratch your temple. And that couldn't have been something that Joe influenced before he joined the real team.
I don't think so.
I was reading the comments there and just stumbled on that. But, yeah, Rob, we appreciate your service. We appreciate everything you've done for our country. That matters way more than any sort of trivial sports takes. But we have fun on the Killer Bees, and when you have a bad take, you land on Bad Take Boulevard. Rob, appreciate your service, but you made the list of Bad Take Boulevard. Adam on Twitter, he challenges me. He said that I should be put on the list of Bad Take Boulevard for saying that the Giants are in the same tier as the Dallas Cowboys. He used a puke emoji, and he said Bad Take Boulevard. You guys supporting what Adam said? Do I belong on Bad Take Boulevard for saying that the Giants are in the same tier as the Cowboys?
No, because there's a chance that you could be right because of the fact that the Giants were a playoff team last year. It's not like saying something about like the Bears having a chance to win the division and being a playoff team. You're talking about the fact that both teams made the playoffs a year ago. I mean, you're talking about the fact that everybody's pumping up the Dallas Cowboys, as they always do, and how's that worked out in the last 20-some-odd years? The fact that everybody just assumes, hey, people are saying they could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. They could win it all. Great. But guess what? Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, when Saquon was finally healthy, a really, really good head coach in Brian Daboll and all the things that he was able to do offensively, and this team you would think is going to be better next year. I don't think it's inconceivable to say the Giants and the Cowboys are closer than the Cowboys are to winning a Super Bowl or being the NFC representative in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean I had the take, so I have to recuse myself from this conversation, Joe.
I think it's a fair. I don't think it belongs on here. I think the Giants aren't that good, but I don't think the Cowboys are that good either.
But like, that adds credence to what Jeremy said.
That's what I'm saying. Like I don't think that. This is a Bad Take Boulevard nomination. To me, the Cowboys, you know, they traded away one of their best wide receivers for a fifth-round pick. They didn't do anything to replace him. Now Zeke's gone. He wasn't good anyways, but Pollard's
hurt. They did this offseason.
Yeah, the overrated Brandon Cooks.
I don't think he's better than Amari, but he's easily their second-best receiver.
Yeah, he definitely is. But, like, to me, they got rid of Dalton Schultz. I just don't think this team's all that great, and I think they made a mistake by not firing their head coach. And who knows what, you know, Kellen Moore's departure is going to mean. So,
oh yeah,
the idea that Mike McCarthy is going to be the play caller next year is the reason why I think the Giants are closer to them than anything. I still think there's a chance they're the third best team in the NFC. That's because the NFC is trash. So,
Butch Alcindor, in an indirect way, challenges me on Bad Take Boulevard. I think he used to do TV in the area, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely, he did.
Yep.
He did
what
on Channel 11.
On?
He was on Channel 11 for a long time.
Yeah, did really good stuff. But he came at me on my Twitter that I had earlier today where I said, at this stage in his career, Tiger Woods is an average golfer. Have we ever been so captivated by an athlete that is currently average in their sport? And he said, this may be the first time the words Tiger Woods and the word average were ever used in the same sentence. And he used the emoji where he puts the hand in forehead. A lot of people came after me on this tweet. They said it belongs to Bad Take Boulevard.
Back-to-back
and I'm
birdies.
Building a mansion. All of this stuff. Blah, 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 blah. Tiger Woods has played in three tournaments since the 2022 Masters. I think his best finish in that span was 45th. I think he went 45th at Riviera when he played that a couple of weeks ago. Do you know what Tiger Woods' his world golf ranking is right now? It's outside of the top 1,000. Tiger Woods is not in the top 1,000 in the official golf rankings. Saying that Tiger Woods is an average golfer relative to the rest of the tour, relative to the majors fields, is being nice. It's being kind to Eldrick. I appreciate Tiger for everything he's done. One of the greatest golfers ever. The most important figure in golf of all time. But saying that Tiger Woods is currently an average golfer in 2023 on April 6th is being nice. to Mr. Woods.
Two separate conversations. Because, look, I'm with you on the average right now. Because he's just not repetition-wise. Golfers have to be so dialed in that from week to week, even if you take a tournament off, you can lose some of whatever you had going in the right direction. But he's ranked the way he's ranked. And on any other course, like I told you, he's even more than he's probably less than average because he has to walk it and because of where that leg is. But on this course, that's why I was almost going to see if you wanted to bet. I think he's going to make the cut. I think that place, and you can turn it around quickly on that place, and you can see the guys that start out hot, they can all of a sudden capsize in a 2 to 3 hole span. Huh?
Like who's going to make the you want?
I think Tiger's going to make the cut again. I do. I really do. I think he's going to make
today,
the cut
today. This tournament or lifetime.
I think he'll make the turn. He'll make the cut this week.
Oh, what do you want to bet?
I don't know, but I mean, I do. I feel confident that he can make the cut again this week. That he will, whatever, tie the streak or break the streak, because he just knows this place too well. He knows where to go for it, where to be, you know, very, very take your bogey and go on to the next hole and not do too much damage. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Sure.
I just feel
I'll
like he's going to make the cut.
I'll lunch bet it. I owe you a lunch anyway, so you can
double
or nothing.
That's fine. We're all never right. going to do it anyway, so that's fine.
That's not true. You never asked for it. All right, double or nothing. We just made a bet. Tiger Woods will – you had that he'll make the cut.
Yeah.
I say he's going to fail to make the cut this weekend. All right, that was Bad Take Boulevard. If you have any bad takes throughout the week, if any bad takes make the list, make sure you tweet them at Pac-Man Joel. Killer Bees broadcast in Riverhouse, East River 9, ESPN 97.5 here until 7 o'clock. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Coming up next, we're going to see Carlos Correa again tomorrow. Reunited, and it feels so good. Which former Astro would you call the one that got away? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Killer Bees live at the River House, East River 9, drink and food specials broadcasting all day. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. ESPN 97.5 will be here all day. East River 9 Masters Weekend. It includes drink and food specials, a hole-in-one challenge all weekend long. Receive a Sunday golf bag and a 30-day golf membership if you hit a hole-in-one at East River 9. So you want to take advantage of that. It's Houston's new public 9-hole par 3 golf course. LED lights for evening play, which is huge. If you, of course, you work, that's big. Driving range as well, so you can work on your game. Pickleball facility located, all of this located inside the loop. We're broadcasting from the River House, the restaurant here at East River 9, open for lunch and dinner, neighborhood restaurant, patio bar positioned along the Buffalo Bayou that overlooks Houston's downtown skyline. It's awesome. In the evening, you can enjoy live music on the expansive outdoor terrace with a kids' playscape, outdoor games, and a fire pit as well. All right, Blankers, the Astros will play the Twins tomorrow, not today, tomorrow, because of weather, some nasty weather there in the Twin Cities. They'll start their three-game series tomorrow, which means the
Toughen
Astros
up, Buttercup.
It's cold, and it's wet.
Minnesota should use it as a home field advantage.
Are you calling the Twins soft?
Yeah, I certainly am.
Huh.
If you weren't dumbasses and didn't put a roof on your stadium.
I'll say they're not soft, they're stupid.
Yeah, if you were dumbasses and didn't put a roof on your stadium, then toughen up, Buttercup, and play the game in the cold weather and try to use it to your advantage. That's weak sauce, man.
They had a snow out two of the last like 3 years, I think, on like their opening series, and now another cancellation. Like, how do you go from a dome baseball stadium to an open air, and then be like, but we have to put a roof for our football team? It's just backwards.
It's
like, what are we
asinine,
doing?
But it's so Minnesota.
Such a dumb franchise.
I feel like I have to stay out of this conversation with Joe being from Chicago and Blanker
being from
Wisconsin.
It's the one time Joe and I could be on the same side.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's like if you live in an area like where like you clearly like know you're going to be screwed by outdoor and you're building a new stadium, how do you not add a roof? Like, it's the same thing in football. Like, the Buffalo Bills, the Chicago Bears, these two teams that are both getting new stadiums, you play in Buffalo and Chicago. How are you not going to add a roof? Like, I know you want the elements and whatnot, but come on, guys.
Buffalo wants the elements.
Oh, so they have games canceled again, just like last year, or games moved to Detroit?
That's worth the risk.
Minnesota, Joe brings up the best point of all. If you think for your football team, which supposedly they used the home field with the snow and whatever when they were playing at the old Met Stadium. The fact is, then you should tough it out if you tough it out with the open air. But if you put a roof on your football stadium, then you damn well, and you're coming from a dome stadium for baseball, and you're going to all suddenly the weather must be changing, and you know all this climate control stuff is crazy. It's going to be warmer here for the foreseeable future. We're not going to put a roof on our stadium. We don't need it. Seattle's dumbasses weren't dumb enough to think that they didn't need a roof with all that rain. They put a roof there because they knew it was going to rain all the time. Minnesota, this just in. It's going to be cold early in the season.
What was the maybe it's wet, though. Like, maybe it's raining.
I understand you always want to take the opposite side, but just trust me. When a Bears fan and a Packers fan have a chance to dump on Minnesota for stupidity,
yeah,
they're probably not wrong.
Well, I'll be honest. I hate the Twins franchise.
Raining, you can't play baseball.
Why do you hate the Twins franchise?
It's such an odd thing. So when I was a kid, we went to the Mall of America and did like the whole trip up there. We went to a Twins game. That's such a cheap franchise that I caught a foul ball. They made me give it back.
What?
Like they used
in a Major League Baseball game?
Yeah, they used to like not let fans keep home run balls and foul balls.
Like, no way.
Yes, they wanted to reuse them.
There's a certain college in the area that does that, and it's not one within the loop.
Like I just. It, like, blew my mind. It was, like, such a cool experience, and the usher comes up to you to take the ball.
Did you get a treat? Did you get something? Did you get a reward?
No, I got nothing.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, see, I might have taken a snow cone. That's a good trade.
Like that?
No, it's because, not.
Like, in Little League baseball, like, because you obviously you don't want to lose your, like, the baseballs in Little League because there's, you know, you don't have as much, you don't have an endless amount.
Notice how you carefully worded that. That was well played.
Baseballs, yeah. I mean, balls, yep. There you go.
Yep.
Elementary humor, ha, ha, ha.
But anyways,
whenever the baseballs would go, like, out of the field, like, they would reward the little kids for returning the baseballs back to the concession stand. They give them, like, a lollipop.
I've seen that.
Something like that. So, like, it would make sense. Not for a major league team. I think that's cheap and stupid. But it makes sense for
A's
some
doing
places
that
for you to return a foul ball and to get a little bit of a reward, get a little bit of a treat.
Yeah, I could see the A's doing that because they're just known for being cheap and not having any fans and just bare bones in it. But the Twins? But any major league team, come on, man. Seriously, it's that bad. It's like from Major League, the movie. Like, you're that far off of where you think you should be money-wise that you're going to go get the balls back from kids?
Yeah,
That's pretty bad.
Ridiculous. It's pretty bad. I can't believe
that.
That
is awful,
I think this was
Joe.
A dream. I don't think this was actually happened.
No,
it
happened. I promise. I'm not some scumbag liar or anything.
Was
like
it a good player? Do you remember?
No, because it wasn't even like the Cubs were playing. It was just we were just up there in Minnesota.
See, that was an even bigger thing, though. If you would have gotten like a big name player and you got a home run ball, God, as a kid, you keep that forever and cherish it. I think that's brutal.
Brooks Koepka's having trouble on 13. Tiger Bogey, 18, by the way. Tiger Bogey,
that
18.
He's done?
He's plus two.
Yeah, 18 is the final hole that you play. Yeah.
I didn't know if they did double split tees, Jeremy, okay? I was just asking because the weather.
Yeah. He's not a 74. He's tied for 54th. Top 50 in ties. Make the cut. Make the weekend. I'm feeling good about that.
You must be. Yeah, you're flexing right now. You feel good.
I am flexing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, and back-to-back days, I think it's 50-50. I think it's 50-50, honestly. Like, if I'm handicapping it, I think it's 50-50. Blankers, I'll ask you this real quick. We'll carry it over on the other side, too. We'll ask you this as well, Hive, 713-780-3776. Astros reunited with Correa once again tomorrow. Three-game series begins tomorrow because Blankers thinks they're soft in Minnesota. Which former Astro would you call the one that got away? Who is the former Astro that got away from this organization, from this franchise?
From a simply just logical right answer to the question standpoint,
it's Garrett Cole. Oh, okay.
So it's Garrett Cole because of the fact that at his age, with his ability, and how many years you expect him to be at the top of his game, I think Garrett Cole is the most impactful one that got away. For me personally, it's George Springer. Just because I just love the way he goes about his business on a daily basis and the defense that he plays and, you know, the way he stepped up big in big moments and just seemingly was that, you know, that rare center fielder with power but could play multiple outfield positions but always gave it his all. Personally, it's George Springer. Logically, to me, it's Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good because I agree about Cole. I expected you to say Springer. Because I think Springer would probably be the fan favorite there. 713-780-ESPN. Who is the former Astro that you – yeah, but I think Pena alleviates that.
Maybe.
Like, for Correa, you have the Pena replacement, which is like, you're cool with that. You're cool with Pena being that replacement. He's fine. He's good. You don't have that center fielder. So, like, I think that's why people would link Springer versus Correa if you were a position player. 713-780-3776. Which former Astro would you call the one that got away? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. I've been telling you about him for quite a while. Doc Linville makes miracles happen. When you are losing your hair, you absolutely don't have to shave your head or get those sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem. Go see my friend Doc Linville because he can get your hair back. It's your own hair. He puts it where you need it most, and he can make a difference in your life on a day-to-day basis. More confidence when you have more self-esteem, when you look in the mirror and you have your hairline back or you've covered up that spot on top, you feel great. And he does that for people every single day. Check him out right now. Go to 975hair.com because if you go there and check out what they can do and you set up an appointment, it's free for you for listening to ESPN 97.5. For everybody else that wants to set up an appointment, it's $150. But because you listen to us and you go to him, you get the deal of being able to go in for free, no obligations, no strings attached, and just find out if the procedure is right for you. Check out the NeoGraft, taking your own hair where genetically you're never going to lose it, sides and back, putting it where you need it most. Maybe it's the front where your forehead's become an 8-head, or maybe you got that baboon's butt that keeps rearing its head on the top of yours, and you don't like the way that looks on a daily basis. They take care of that if you go to them because they are the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. Tell them I sent you by. They did it for me. They did it for John Granato. They've done it for so many more, and they are ready to do it for you too. And again, because there's no obligation, get all the information, get all the answers, see what they can do, and then see if it's right for you. If it's not, just walk away. If it is, you'll be glad you did. They're great people. The good people at Doc Linville's office. Go to 975hair.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East River 9. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who is the one that got away? The Astros will be facing Carlos Correa tomorrow in Minnesota, the soft twinsies. Who is the one that got
Super
away?
Super soft. and that's your says, that's your niche right there. That's your the soft catalog or the soft moniker. That's what you give to people. But Minnesotans are soft. If their stupid baseball team was idiotic for not putting a roof on that thing.
I get that. Like, I understand the roof part of it, but there's certain elements you can't play through in baseball. Should they have put a roof on it to avoid those elements? Yeah, absolutely. They could go play in the football stadium. Golden Gopher baseball team plays inside the football stadium.
Do they really?
Yeah, Houston played a series there a few weeks ago.
Really? I thought that was a football
the
only.
Lincoln Stadium. No.
They used to do it at the Metrodome because the Twins played there.
No, they play at the they played a few weeks ago. It's like 300 the lines.
I didn't think that you could carve out a way to play baseball in there, but good for them.
They do. They bring
they're smarter than their dumbass baseball team.
They bring storage containers to be the dugouts. It ain't pretty.
The building's pretty.
Get it done. The one that got away from me, Blankers, is Garrett Cole. I think that Cole at his best is one of the very best pitchers in baseball. Springer's a close second, though, because you haven't really been able to replace the center field spot. Now, Springer really wasn't always a center fielder. He was kind of a right fielder, and you've replaced that production with Kyle Tucker. But if you could throw Springer into the mix and all of a sudden George Springer's your center fielder, I don't think there's another position player that really comes close. Carlos Correa, I love Carlos Correa. He was my favorite player whenever he was an Astro. I thought he was very smart. But you've replaced him with a suitable replacement. Like, Jeremy Pena has given you close to what Carlos Correa can do, and sometimes he's been better than Carlos Correa. So you have a suitable replacement there. But if you can add Springer over the whole Chaz Jake thing in center field, that by far is the best offensive player that got away. From a pitcher standpoint, it's got to be Garrett Cole. And I lean Garrett Cole because I love to have top-flight pitching.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, look, you don't like the way he left. You don't know where you don't like where he went to. There's a lot of little, you know, side factors that can kind of tick you off about it. But when you just get down to brass tacks of just ability, age, and the potential to keep doing what he did for you, I just think that hands down, Cole is it. And from, like I said, from a personal standpoint for me, Springer, just the way he plays the game, the things that he was able to do here, the fact that I knew he was a little older, but I still knew there was plenty he could still do. I would have liked to have seen him stay in an Astros uniform.
713-780-ESPN. Who do you think is the one that got away? 713-780-3776. I understand that onside engineer, the good-looking Andrew Carlson, has one. Andrew, who was the dude that got away for you?
So this one's a little bit off the beaten path, but I'm going to go with J.D. Martinez as the one who got away. He's someone a little bit before, like, this Astros golden era got started, but he was still a significant player by the time the Astros really got rolling. And I just think that he was just in the very, very beginning of his glow-up when you let him get away. And I feel like that's the definition of letting one get away.
Was that a Luno move?
Yeah, Luno let him, DFA'd him. Yeah, J.D. Martinez said that I completely changed my swing in the winter. Give me a chance. Give me an opportunity to show you, to prove it to you. And Luno said, nope, we don't believe you. We're going to DFA you.
See, even the best in the history of Houston sports can have a screw-up every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. I've been reading more and more about Jeff Luno in this book. That's very, very interesting.
Has your opinion of it?
No, I take my time. I have a certain period of time whenever I read it. I can understand why he hasn't been picked up by anybody else in baseball, though.
Like, so it's changed your opinion of him a little bit?
No, not quite. I think, because, I mean, I had a pretty good feel of who he was. Like, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. But I've always thought that there was a dark side of Jeff Luno, quite honestly. And it just kind of magnifies that a bit and probably tells that story more than people really know, I would say.
Okay.
I would say that. But
so it just solidified what you already had heard and knew.
Yeah, now there's a lot more information. Like, it's a great read because you do figure out a lot more of kind of the dark side of it all. It's fascinating. It's really good. But J.D. Martinez is a good one. I guess it depends on how you're looking at it. Like, the HRMP listener line, a lot of people are saying J.D. Martinez. Tone said J.D. Martinez. Are you looking at it for the 2023 Astros or the period of time? Because I'm okay with what the Astros have done in the last 6 years, even without J.D. Martinez.
For sure.
Two World Series, four World Series appearances. They've been to six straight ALCSs. So maybe I looked at this question more about what can help my team now versus that period of time. Because if you go period of time since J.D. was released, that's a really good answer. If you look at it based on who can help me the most in 2023, J.D. Martinez is still playing. J.D. Martinez is going to get some, you know, significant at-bats for the Dodgers. J.D. Martinez is not as good a baseball player as George Springer. J.D. Martinez is not going to bring the value of a Gerrit Cole for this one singular season. So I guess it depends on how you're looking at the one that got away. I'm looking at it from a 2023 perspective, and my blinders are on when I look at anything else.
Do you think, going back a little further, but do you think if Beltran doesn't leave, do you think if Beltran stays and Drayton solidifies the deal and doesn't get the last minute, you know, Mets call that changed everything, do you think Beltran could have been that guy?
Yeah, maybe if you're looking at, like, long term.
Yeah, because that you know, realistically, I'm like you are. I was looking at it like you were. Like, who could still benefit this team and be benefiting this team that would have made sense for the money, the dollars that you were giving up? And I look at that and say Beltran was a guy that, first of all, from the heartstrings perspective, he had Houston in the palm of his hand, even though they didn't win at all with the way he played and what he did. And then instead of going to a market he didn't want to go to and only simply went there for financial reasons and you know, finished out the majority of his career, would it have been different had he had stayed in an Astros uniform?
Yeah, I think it would have.
I do too.
He had some injury stuff, especially in the last few years there in New York. That kind of diminished, like, his whole tenure there, but it was really good for, like, the majority of that deal. Top 20 MVP votes, things like that. I think he finished top 5 one year as well. I think he had 40 home runs one year with the Mets. So, yeah, probably, but it just seems so distant to go. And it's also pre-golden era.
But if you're looking at it differently than you and I were about, like, going forward and the here and now, and you look at it just in the history of Astros baseball and go, there was a guy that basically looked like, not only was he dominant during that playoff run, it looked like he could stay dominant for the franchise for the foreseeable future of the next, you know, so many years. And he was young enough to where if that guy stays, and look, he told everybody that wanted to listen that he felt confident talking to. He loved the media and the way people loved him and left him alone here. He didn't want to go to a big market, but Scott Boras and Major Money changed his mind. And I think that's why it made me ask the question, because I think it would have been a lot different had he stayed.
Would you have rather had Randy Johnson stay or Carlos Beltran stay?
Ooh. Boy, I think it's still Randy Johnson, because he just knew every fifth day it was basically chalking up a W.
Yeah, like those are the two big deadline acquisitions before this era of baseball. Like, which of those two would you have rather had stay? I think for me it's the big unit. I'd rather have had Randy Johnson. Like, again, I lean starting pitching.
Well, and we talk about the sample sizes. It was a small sample size for Beltran. It was a smaller sample size for Randy Johnson because he only pitched every fifth day. But when he did, he was basically unhittable, and he was amazing. And you would have liked to have seen a couple more years of him doing that kind of damage. That would have been impressive.
Randy Johnson, when he was pitching at the Dome after that deadline, was maybe the most electric crowd you would see in Astrodome, like Astro history. Yep. That was so fun. 55,000 inside the Dome to watch Randy Johnson.
I was at that San Diego series and Kevin Brown just did the unthinkable. Because that place was just – everybody in that building was thinking, we're going to the World Series. We got Randy Johnson in a great team.
That's where we first met, because I was there as well. Uncle Barney took me out of school. Uncle Barney and my dad, they took me out of school, and we went to watch those two games against San Diego at the Dome. Yeah, it was cool. 713-780-ESPN. Who's the one that got away for you? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from the River House inside of East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East River 9. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A lot of people are taking this in a direction I didn't see. Who was the one that got away for the Houston Astros? Many people were thinking big picture here. I'm usually the big picture
guy.
Well,
I got a big picture one.
Okay.
Let's eliminate the rat. So I'll take Josh Hader. Then Mike Fiers is never an Astro.
So you went the other way. Some people on the text line, on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, they said the one that got away was Mike Fiers. Because if you don't let Mike Fiers get away, he never runs and snitches to other people.
See, you got to put him on the playoff roster. I think he snitches eventually anyways. I just think him being on the roster, like, he's a snitch. He was not liked here by the Astros players. He was not liked in that clubhouse. He was left off the postseason roster when he wasn't good, but his ego thought he should have been, and he's a rat. So, like, I honestly think as long as he was a member of this team, he would have snitched eventually.
I think he didn't like the Astros. I also have a hot take on the whole Mike Fiers situation. I think he was so stupid he didn't realize what he was doing.
Yep, I like that.
I think he was so stupid that he did not realize what, like, the Pandora's box that he was – because everybody in Major League Baseball is doing this. And everybody in Major League Baseball knew that everybody in Major League Baseball was doing this to an extent. They didn't know how people were doing it exactly, but you had player movement. You had Chris Young, the dude from Bel Air, who went from Boston to New York or New York to Boston. I can't remember. He went to one of them, and then all of a sudden he was like somebody that, because you did that, he was somebody that, like, I think was really, really dumb. Like, that, I really think that's ultimately what I lost my train of thought there for a second. But whenever he went to the new team, Mike Fiers did, Mike Fiers was telling his teammates, because we read this in this book, Joe George, he was already telling his teammates that the Astros had stuff, which was a surprise to no one. Everybody in Major League Baseball knew that everybody already had stuff. That was no surprise. And you had player movement. You had players telling their former teams that everybody was stealing. You had Alex Cora went from the Astros to the Red Sox that carried the scheme over with him, all of that. So I wonder if the Astros would have, like, taken care of Mike Fiers if he would have, like, told the media. But I also think that Mike Fiers was so dumb, he did not know what he was doing.
Yeah, I think so too. But, going through the book, like, the Astros were pretty toxic. I think it's pretty clear to say, like, whether that's the relationship with Fiers, you know, the stuff with, you know, with Blummer and Cora, Luno, Brandon Taubman, like,
crazy.
All of it. Like, the one that responds to me, I haven't seen a ton of yet, is I'm kind of surprised people just aren't saying AJ Hinch as the one that got away. You know, everyone else immediately returned to baseball. You know, Alex Cora went right back to the Red Sox. AJ, you know, they could have run with Joe Espada for a year and then brought Hinch back, and I think everyone would have been fine with it. And AJ publicly apologized. You know, he admitted what he did was like his role in it was wrong. So I think a lot of people thought AJ was going to come back. I mean, I think there's still a lot of people that believe that when Dusty retires at the end of the season and AJ Hinch is a free agent, that he'll be back here next year. So,
what do you think the odds of that are happening?
I thought there was a really good chance that they were going to keep the front office structure and AJ Hinch was going to be the general manager next year before they hired Dana Brown. I thought there was a chance that that was going to happen. But I think there's like at least a 25% chance that AJ Hinch is the manager of the team next year.
That high, huh?
I think so.
25%?
I think it's definitely possible that AJ's back next year. Because why not? Why not? What Joe Spott is basically Eric Bieniemy at this point. Everyone thinks he's this great candidate, but no one hires him. Why? And like, is he just waiting out Dusty this whole time? Or like, if AJ is available, then why wouldn't you take a crack at him?
I'm right there with you, actually. See, I was surprised that you got up to 25, because I think the 25, if you just took like the opinion of most Astros fans, I think people would say that's high, right? Like, wouldn't most people say 25% AJ Hinch is the next manager of the Houston Astros is high? I'm at 25, too. I think there's a decent shot that AJ Hinch returns as the manager of the Houston Astros. Jim Crane even talked about it publicly whenever they got rid of him. He said it was one of the hardest things he ever had to do. They liked Hinch a lot. They did not love Jeff Luhnow.
No.
They did not love Luhnow.
I don't think Jeff Luhnow.
Front office.
There's a reason why he's not in baseball. Like,
so many reasons.
It goes beyond the cheating scandal. So, like, I think about all the openings that have happened. Like, there have been major jobs. I really thought Steve Cohen was going to be the one. Like, the way he was spending money to just be like, bleep you to everyone else. I'm hiring Luhnow. Like, this is where we're going. And we're going to spend a ton of money and go super analytical at the same time and just dominate baseball. And then they didn't hire him. And I think that was the moment where I realized, like, he's done.
Yeah, he's just doing Liga MX or whatever. I don't even think it's Liga MX. I think he's doing some like second, third division soccer in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like it's a huge fall from grace. Like he built this Astros, I call it a dynasty. People give me grief for that. And now he can't even get a job in baseball, can't even get a job in American sports, and can't even get a job in the top soccer league in Mexico. It's wild. Some people are saying that they would take Charlie Morton over Garrett
Cole. Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know if it's better than Cole, though.
No, like, but I think the fanfare of it is why it makes sense.
From a fan perspective and, like, people liking Morton versus Cole, Gerrit Cole is not very well liked in Houston. Like, I'm not – spoiler alert, right? I'm not telling you something you don't already know. People don't like Gerrit Cole, the way that he handled himself after the 2019 World Series. I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap for that. Like, he was mad that he wasn't used, and he was mad they lost a World Series game. Like, I can't really necessarily blame him for that, but it's kind of icky that he had Boris. It's kind of icky that he was wearing a Boris agency hat, and then it's super icky he went to New York, right? Like, I can't blame Gerrit Cole a whole lot for being mad after the Astros lost Game 7 of the World Series. There's some of the icky stuff that he did that makes people dislike him, but he's a really good pitcher. There's no way I'm taking Charlie Morton over Gerrit Cole from my 2023 Astro team. No chance.
No, but like, what about in the context of like of when they left? Like, Charlie didn't get paid a lot.
Yeah. So like, that was another like Luhnow specialty too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Luhnow thought that the advanced numbers on Charlie Morton thought that he was going to fall off and he was going to decline pretty rapidly, and he didn't. He didn't do that.
I was trying to think if there was anyone that would qualify for this as like a potential free agent that the Astros like almost signed, but I feel like they haven't been in the mix on any of the big names the last 5 years. Like they haven't.
You mean like just in free agency?
Yeah, like they didn't meet with Aaron Judge. Like I think like if we were in San Francisco and we did this question, I think you could call Aaron Judge the one that got away.
See, this is tough for me too, because like now you're kind of just turned the page in how I believe that you need to run an organization and how I believe the philosophy of an organization is going to be. I wasn't mad when any of these guys left. Carlos Correa was my favorite player. I'm not paying Carlos Correa the money that he wanted. George Springer was around 30 years old when he entered free agency. I'm not paying George Springer that money. Gerrit Cole, whenever he left in free agency and got the money that he got, I'm not paying Gerrit Cole that money. And the Astros have proven time and time again they're going to be an organization that Some people will call it cheap. Some people will call it frugal. I'll call it wise. Like, they're not going to throw stupid money at any player, even if that player is great. Because over the history of time, these huge free agent contracts mostly don't work. So are they cheap, or are they just playing the percentages? I would say that they're mostly playing the percentages. So, like, if you look at it from what the contracts they got, certain, like, where they left, where they were at when they – like, Carlos Correa, too. When you let Carlos Correa walk, you won the World Series the very next year. You've had success post-George Springer. You've had success post-Gerrit Cole. You've had success without Justin Verlander when he was hurt. Oh, from like a team-building perspective, a lot of these contracts aren't great. So maybe you could go young player. Maybe like Andrews, if you're thinking big picture, J.D. Martinez makes sense. Because you cut and DFA'd J.D. Martinez when he was on a rookie contract and still had plenty of years of club control and turned into one of the best right-handed hitters in all of baseball. Whereas Gerrit Cole left because he got a lucrative deal. Correa left because he got a lucrative deal. George Springer left because he got a lucrative deal. In terms of a really good player that you had on a team-friendly contract, J.D. Martinez has to be high on that list. Look, Josh Hader was really good with Milwaukee, too, and you would have had 6 years of club control. And it also was a trade that got you Mike Fire. So those are good ones when you look at it from that perspective, too, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely a bunch of different ways to answer it. The one I will say, though, like of the current regime, I think the answer for me is Springer, because you haven't replaced him. You haven't come close. We've constantly been talking about for 3 years now about center field. First it was Straw, then it was, now it's Chaz and Jake Myers, yeah. And it's Durden, and it's sign a free agent, and it's put Tucker in center field, and it's like, yeah, you have Tucker up that replaced Springer with the bat, but like the idea of Springer being on this team still, even though, you know, he's not going to be healthy for 162, like, it's, I think it would have been worth it. Like, what it's hard to not have that. Teoscar Hernandez was the other name that popped up for me.
Oh, yeah.
I love somebody that guy. He's smashing right now.
The Teoscar Hernandez trade, I've widely said that that's the third worst move that Luno has made. Because I think first is J.D. Martinez. I think the second one was the Mike Fiers, Carlos Gomez, Josh Hader trade. And I think the third one was Teoscar Hernandez. They traded Teoscar Hernandez for Francisco Liriano. Not a great trade. Not a great trade for Jeff Luno, and Hernandez has been really good. Forgot where I was going to go with that. Hernandez is a good one. I can't remember what I was going to say. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody tweeted in Robbie Grossman.
No.
Bobcat fight never die. Like, love him. Love that he's a Houston kid. Love that he's from Cy Fair. Robbie Grossman does not belong in this conversation. Grossman does not belong in this chat. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. No, wait, I forgot again. 713-780-ESPN. Oh, I remember now. I remember now. Because a lot of people think that George Springer wasn't a center fielder. So it's like when people compare, like, oh, I would love to have George Springer on this team because he's just the center fielder. The counterpoint to that, though, is, well, he's really a right fielder, and you've replaced that production with Kyle Tucker. So it kind of depends on, like, what you made of George Springer. Was he a center fielder? Was he a right fielder? Because the Astros have replaced Springer's production with Tucker. Now, they haven't replaced that type of production in center field.
But counterpoint, Kyle Tucker could be your center fielder, and George Springer could be your right fielder.
Yeah, I got you. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse, you think? What's their opening segment?
Tough one. It was NFL, because I think we got a tweet that we were right. No.
Yeah
I think it was.
What are they going with today?
I don't know. The Astros game ended mid-show for them, and they hit on it pretty hard, so
I think they're going to figure out a way to talk about the number two pick and Bryce Young not being available.
33rd team has Anthony Richardson going second, so I think with that and Mortensen. I also can't – wait, I can't answer this. I know the question. I answered it wrong, though, because I'm producing their show.
Oh, well, way to go.
But if I'll tell you the answer.
Go out and see the Wheelhouse today. They're broadcasting live at East River 9 inside the River House. Drink specials, food specials, all weekend long. Get on out there. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to the assistant to the regional manager, Joe George. For Blankers, I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.